It has been too long, my man. Good to see you on Zoom. It's good to be back here. You've kind of held down the fort over the last like almost 2 weeks here,
Been a long
and I
road.
do really appreciate it. So, hello and welcome to the Walk Off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. I do want to not spend too much time on this, but I do want to just say thank you very much to all of you who reached out over the last week. My grandma passed a couple weeks ago, and it's been kind of a, oh, what's the best word? Tumultuous 2 weeks, I guess. Just I was kind of in charge of doing the eulogy and all of this and the funeral, helping my sister and my dad get that together. And I don't know if anyone has gone through this. This is my first time, but it's a stressful, shitty kind of experience, you know, like the funeral was great, a lot of closure and all that. But I do really appreciate all of you who reached out with condolences, all of you who were very patient. I know that we had big plans to have long toss back up and going, and then this just kind of wiped that out. It is going to happen though. Sunday, April 28th, long toss is coming back. Some familiar faces. Some new folks. If you don't even know what Long Toss is, you're new to the channel. It is a show we've done over the last couple of years where we bring in content creators from either different teams or other fellow Blue Jays content creators. And that Sunday after the afternoon game, we basically have a 2 hour long toss where we're just like, I don't know, talking back and forth. Round table. That's the
Round
word
table
I'm.
discussion. Usually,
I was
go
gonna say
through like five
long
or six
table. I'm like, that's
topics.
not it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is coming back. Anyways, appreciate all your patience. Adam, like I said, has held down the ship here doing some mailbag and Friday shows solo, which is always tough, buddy. So big thank you for you to doing that.
Welcome. While we're talking show reminders, this Tuesday coming up.
Yes.
Let me just double check the number. Where's my calendar app? Man, this is great content. I'm so prepared. Tuesday, April 23rd.
Yes.
We are return of the Blue Jays watch parties on Zoom. So that is for Patreon.
Yes.
The first one of the year is for all Patreon tiers. So if you're on the Patreon at all and you want to watch a Blue
Join
Jays
us.
game with us, join us on
Yeah.
Zoom. You can have your webcam on or off, mic on or off. You can just lurk in the darkness if that's what you prefer, and that's totally cool too. But yeah, there you go. So okay.
Perfect. Excited for that. That's going to be fun. We haven't had one of those since watching the Jays lose in
September, October? Yeah, October, I think.
the playoffs. So,
All
yeah.
right. Let's get to it then. The first question of the day was a me oh.
Okay, because let's talk Yankees first,
Oh yeah. Let's
right?
recap the Yankees, preview the Padres,
Exactly.
then we'll
By
do
the
the
way, speaking
mailbag.
of the Padres, I'm in San Diego right now. Pretty excited about this weekend here. The wife and I got in early and went to the zoo yesterday, which was a ton of fun. If you're ever in San Diego, holy crap, that zoo is I mean, it's so hyped and so highly touted as it is that I didn't think that it would exceed my expectations, but so exceeded my expectations. It's just a great day to go see a bunch of animals. And they've obviously put a ton of work into conservation and kind of extinct animals trying to stop that. You know, some of them they're like, this weird little thing, there's 25 of them. And you're like, what the hell is that? But anyways,
Amazing.
pretty cool. So excited for that. And yeah, I've been dying to talk baseball, buddy. So I'm thrilled we're going to get into it. And that's why I stopped you before you got into the questions here. We're doing kind of a mishmash of a mailbag and a Friday show here for you folks. So we're going to start with the Yankees series. Blue
Can I
Jays take it.
hold on? Can I double correct you and just say the? Can we do this first comment first? Because it'll lead into the end. It leads into the
Yes.
recap
Okay.
of the last week. So Deb
Perfect.
has
Perfect.
requested friendly request. Can you start up three studs and a dud? Something we did every week last year. Haven't been doing it this year. It's been a depressing start to the season, but good homestand. So three studs and a dud this week. Two pitchers. We got Kikuchi, who is outshadowed only by Jose Berríos in terms of great starts to the year from our pitching. So Kikuchi, stud number three. Berríos, stud number two. Stud number one, Dalton Varsho.
Yes.
Four home runs this week.
We have been waiting for his power to come around for a year, and it is nice to see it start to show its head. I'm wondering, Adam, he's worked so hard on his swing. He had 27 home runs with the Diamondbacks in a park that is supposedly not near as hitter-friendly as Rogers is. He hit 20 last year, but he struggled over long periods of time. Mechanical change to his swing in the offseason that he dug his heels in and decided he was sticking with even when he was struggling out of the gate. And of course, Blue Jays fans panicking because it just looked very similar to how he looked at the plate last year. Do you feel that he is found his footing? Or are we still, it's April 19th and we got to wait a little longer here?
I mean, I'd be hard pressed to forget about what Chapman tricked me into believing last year. Was it a hot April or a hot April and May? It was just a hot April. It started to tail off in May. But in April, Chapman had five home runs. Ended the season with 17.
So
home runs come in bunches.
Yeah.
Is what they say. I mean, like, let's be optimistic while we can. I spent all last week talking with Joel about how I genuinely felt Dalton Varsho should bunt
162 games.
Every single at bat he has.
Yeah.
So if I gotta bust his balls to make him prove something to me every week, I'm gonna keep busting his balls. He's your number one stud of the week this week, but I'm not a believer just yet. Happy, well timed, came when we needed it. I can't believe we got two home runs from Dalton Varsho and still lost to the Yankees. But Eric Swanson came in. I think his first game of the season back off.
Was his first game of the season coming off of injury, coming off.
He's your dud this week, by the way.
A shortened rehab stint. Listen, let's get into this a little bit here because I did have some opinions on this, and I'm very curious on how you feel about how Romano and Eric Swanson's return was treated by John Schneider. And listen, I do understand these are your highest leverage guys in this bullpen. Without a doubt, going into the season, no one imagined anyone but Eric Swanson and Jordan Romano taking the ball in the eighth or ninth inning. For the most part, outside of workload, outside of just regular days off where you don't want a guy going 3 days in a row type of thing. Mm-hmm. Eric Swanson, I wasn't a big fan of how John Schneider deployed Jordan Romano. Now, Romano, this is a little bit his MO of if you give him leeway, he is going to take all of that leeway right up to the very line. He's not going to let it cross the line for the most part, but he's going to take that breathing room if you give him breathing room. And he did it again.
The Grant Fuhr in game approach. Two.
The Grant Fuhr approach, right? If the Oilers scored eight, he was letting in seven. If the Oilers scored three, he was letting in two, right? And that's kind of how Jordan Romano has pitched as a closer for his Blue Jays career for the most part. So the fact that it went that way, it didn't surprise me, but it did surprise me that they weren't going to ease him in a little bit. And I'd love to hear from the grounds crew, too, if you are And listen, we can question bullpen moves from John Schneider until the cows come home, obviously. But I am curious on just him coming off of injury, coming off of a rehab stint, if maybe just getting his feet wet in a little bit lower leverage situation is how some of you would have preferred to see it handled. I think I would have preferred to see it handled that way, although I tough to give John Schneider shit when it worked, right? Like he got the save, closed the game out, Jays win the series. Everything went well. Eric Swanson, I just didn't like that move for a few reasons. Number one, coming off of injury, coming off of rehab, he just dealt with the insanity of his son getting hit by a vehicle, needing to deal with the stress and the anxiety of his 4-year-old being in hospital in intensive care. I mean, resilient kid. Kids are resilient, man. And he's out there running around with his little cast on, and he's having a good time now being what, being a kid again. But with that sort of run up to where he is now, it irks me that he was throwing right into the fire right away. And I'm really curious on your thoughts on that, Adam, because there is the argument to be made. He is your high leverage guy. You put him right back out there.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the series against the Yankees. We won 3-1, we won 5-4, we lost 6-4 in the last game there. There wasn't really an opportunity to use him outside of high leverage.
Which is true.
So it feels like they did attempt to as long as they possibly could. Until they had no one left, but like, all right, well, you've just got to be ready. Sorry, we couldn't give you a bigger lead to work with, but you're up. I don't know. I'm not worried about Swanson. I kind of liked that Schneider left him in, though. Like, it didn't work out. But I do like that he was like, the
This is yours
game
to win
is
or
in
lose.
Swanson's hands and we believe in you. Again, didn't work out, but I like that. I don't know.
No, I respect that for sure. What are your thoughts? Listen, Jimmy Garcia has been a bad man this season. He has been lights out. He's hitting 100 miles an hour with his fastball, and it's got that ugly run on it too. I mean, I know it's April, and I know relievers, you don't like to put him out 3 days in a row, but he was so efficient in his outings in game one against the Yankees and game two. I would have preferred they go to Garcia. Listen, hindsight's 2020, and I don't want to get too into the weeds here because they took the series against the Yankees. I think that's a win. I mean, I
Totally.
understand the frustration of, they were right on the verge of sweeping them. They were right there, man. They were 2 innings away from taking that whole series from the Yankees. But the fact that they got two games and that they looked so good doing it, you're gonna blow some games, so I don't want to I don't want to freak out over this and make a big deal out of it because it's really not that big of a deal. But man, I sure would have preferred to see them go to Garcia there. And I think he was fine. I think he was ready going into a day off, right? I don't know. Where are you at on that?
Well, I'm just looking at the stat line here, the game log for Garcia, because on the broadcast they kept saying Garcia unavailable because he just pitched three in a row. Romano likely unavailable because he just pitched two in a row and coming back from the IL. But like you said, off day the following day, which was yesterday. But as I'm looking at the game log here, he didn't pitch on the 14th. He
No, it was
pitched
too.
he pitched on the 13th against Colorado. Day off and then pitch back to back against the Yankees. So
So they were trying to avoid going 3 in a row with him, is what
avoid
they were
going
trying to
three in a
do.
row. That wasn't, yeah, I didn't like that way that was worded that because I thought he had already gone three in a row. So I felt more like, all right, yeah, you don't want to go four in a row with him, even with the off day.
Then if you look at his bullets, bullets fired, right? Pitchers throwing, pretty limited. It wasn't off the charts. It's not like he had a 35-pitch inning in one of those outings.
Yeah, it was 12 pitches, 9 pitches, 11 pitches. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
listen, again, I understand it's April and you don't wish to burn your bullpen out. We saw that happen in 2021. We saw it happen again in 2022. And I hate to say to Ross Atkins' credit, but he did fix the bullpen in 2023. But, you know, you hate to use those guys in April and then maybe burn them out, right? And that is a real legitimate concern. I just was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised they went to Swanson in a high leverage situation after what he just went through when you probably could have gone to Garcia. And what do I fucking know also? If Garcia went to them and was like, listen, guys, like, I'm feeling it. Just let me heal. Like, he, you know, pitchers know their bodies. And if that was the case, then good on the Jays.
Totally. But, we'll never know. But yeah, absolutely.
We'll never know.
He spoke up and said, just, I need a day. I'm glad that's the way it went out. I'll take the loss, unfortunately, over losing Garcia for 2 to 3 weeks. So,
okay. So after saying we're not going to get too into the weeds on that, we went way into the weeds. So we will.
Into the weeds. generally, though, good homestand. Took 2 out of 3 against the Mariners, 2 out of 3 against the Rockies, 2 out of 3 against the Yankees. I'm feeling really good because Seattle has kind of stumbled out of the gates. Colorado, one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yes.
So winning those two series felt a little bit illegitimate. Like, they felt like good wins. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, now we're starting to see stuff. This is much better than getting swept by the Astros or whatever it was. Then you got the Yankees coming to town. Top of the AL East, they just beat up on us in New York, and you go, oh, I really don't want to go 0-3 and just erase the positive vibe. So even though that last game ended in the worst possible way of like ninth inning collapse, which is always just emotionally devastating. Great series.
Truly, honestly, and this may rub people the wrong way. I'm feeling okay about this team right now. There's some definite question marks still. Is the offense coming together, or is this just a flash in the pan type of scenario here? It's not like the offense has been burning things up right now, but I do feel more confident about this team's offense than last year's team offense. I think that the hitting with runners in scoring position has been far better this year than last year to start the season. I know that the Jays kind of got it together there in the last month and a half of the season. Yeah, good homestand.
Good homestand. Well, we're at the end of the homestand. Yesterday we traveled. You traveled with the team.
I traveled with the team.
You're all separately, in San Diego with together. Yeah. Emotionally with the team.
Emotionally with the team.
In San Diego. We got Yariel Rodriguez on the mound today. He went 3 2/3 in his first outing. Looked good. Barrios tomorrow and Bassett on Sunday.
I'm excited about Yariel Rodriguez. Where are you at on Yariel? I like him for a few reasons. Number one, again, Ross Atkins has made a lot of mistakes. I hate that I need to keep saying that because I do not wish to come across like I'm a big Ross Atkins fan, although one thing he has done really well is he has targeted pitchers that he wants. He's gone out and got them, and then they have managed to either fix a mistake with them or a problem with their delivery or whatever it may be, and they have been lights out. And I mean, look at the guys he's gone out and targeted, right? He's gone out and got Kevin Gausman. Traded two of his top prospects to get Jose Barrios, then doubled down on that and locked him up long-term. Went out and got Yusei Kikuchi, and even though that looked horrible in year one, worth every single penny they paid for Kikuchi in the long run. And I mean, Yusei Kikuchi, right? number three stud this week.
Yep.
K-Machine. Strikeout machine. He's turned into a guy who looks like he could hit 200 strikeouts this year. Like, that is insane what he has done. You look at the bullpen, they went out, they got Jimmy Garcia. And I remember when they signed him to that weird deal, right? It was 2 years, $11 million with a weird third year option that the Jays wound up picking up, because why wouldn't you? So when Atkins targets somebody, it's normally, in my guess, it's because Pete Walker is a guy who he's going to and has his ear. Obviously, they're using the resources within the organization to target these pitchers that they like. So they wanted Yariel, and they wanted him bad. I mean, bad enough to go 5 years, $32 million for a dude who's never pitched in the bigs. This might wind up being another Kikuchi deal where you're like, holy, like, just even the value on the trade market, if this guy works out as a starter, is going to be insane, because they're technically paying him about $6.5 million a year, right? So you got him long term, you got him locked up till he's 33 years old. And he, again, very, very early in his tenure here. And I'm not jumping off the deep end, I'm not shooting it off and being like another brilliant move by Atkins or anything like that, but they have had success when targeting pitchers. So I am excited about what Yariel Rodriguez can bring to the table.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have nothing but optimism for him. I think the 1, 2, 3, 4 spots, barring bad tacos, are established.
Yeah.
Right? It's Gausman Berríos as a 1-2 interchangeable at this point in the season.
This point in the season anyways, yeah.
I'm sure Gausman's going to rebound. Like, he's still finding his form from missing so much time in spring training. It is what it is. So that'll balance out. And then I think for the number three spot, I'm like, that's a toss-up too.
Interchangeable again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel good and worried about both of them equally. So that's good. And then for the five spot, Francis
Bowden.
There'll
be some ups and downs.
Not a throwaway yet, but he's, even if we didn't have a fifth starter, I think he's still number six on the pecking chart. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think it's,
yeah,
I think it's those first four guys, and then it's a question mark. And then it's him and Manoah. And I haven't seen enough from anything good enough from either of them to be like, hey, I'm your number five, right? Whereas I have seen that from Yariel Rodriguez. In a short, yes, 3 2/3 innings, first outing, small sample size, whatever. But I'll take a good sample over a bad sample, even if it's small. So that's what we're working with right now. I'm excited to see him pitch again today. I hope he can pitch.
Yeah, give us
finish
four or
the
five
fourth
innings.
Right?
Yeah,
into the
finish
fifth.
The fourth would be great. Yeah.
So, I mean, they got to watch his pitch count and all that too, and stretch him out responsibly.
Yeah, they were saying
and whatever.
He should be pushing 85 pitches today. So,
right.
You know, another increase from the 70 he threw last time he was on the mound.
This is going to be a good series, though. Like, the Padres are the Blue Jays of the West Coast.
I was just going to make that comparison.
I think we 100%. Made that comparison last year. Like, it's the same vibe to that team. They're in the same type of division. I'm excited to see these two guys go at, like, they're a lot of star power in this matchup. So
the Jays are 10-9 on the season. The Padres are 10-8 on the season. You know, like, they both have high expectations amongst the fan base. The Padres had to take a step back from spending, but they're both the Jays and the Padres are still like luxury tax teams. You got Bo and Vlad. You got Manny and Tatis, you know, like you got, yeah, like you said, star power, man.
Bogarts as well.
Yeah. You always forget about Xander because he's so overpriced.
Well, and he's new to the Padres, right? Like this is his
Yeah. Second year.
second with the
Yeah.
so Padres in a division with the Dodgers at 12-9, the Diamondbacks at 9-11, also the Giants, so also the Rockies. Yeah, this is gonna be NL West is gonna be a bloodbath of a division. The Dodgers are probably gonna run away with it at some point,
Yeah.
but then I feel like Giants, Diamondbacks, and Padres. If any one of those teams was a wild card, I would not be surprised.
This is where the NL West very much could be similar to the AL East, where you really could see two wild card teams coming out of that NL West, right? Like,
Totally.
it wouldn't shock anybody.
So, just a reminder, West Coast games, so they're wonky start times.
6:40
7:40
Pacific,
Mountain. Yeah, 6:40.
7:40
So that's
Mountain.
a almost a 10 o'clock start if you're in Toronto.
Oh boy. And all you Halifax folks are just cursing it right now as you're like a 10:40 start time. Unless you're off tomorrow, and then it's like, all right, we got baseball and beer to drink tonight.
Baseball. Hey, you know what? Good news. At least it's a weekend,
Yeah,
right? Not
absolutely.
7:40 on a Tuesday
Oh man, these
or
West
nine
Coast
forty on
games
a Tuesday, right?
on a weekday, oh, they're the worst.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the preview of the Padres series. Let's we're burning daylight here. We're already 26 minutes in. You and I chatted
Okay.
for half hour before we hit record for the Patreon.
Yes.
So we're getting long in the tooth already. We haven't even really scratched the surface on our mailbag. Let's get to this then. Greg on Twitter says Hazel May just tweeted out that Ricky Tiedemann is on the 7-day IL. Added to that, the hashtag extend Kikuchi.
Okay, so let's get into it and would love to hear from the grounds crew. So feel free to leave your comments below and we can tackle this on Tuesday when we really dig into the mailbag. Let's start with Ricky Tiedemann. And I do want to mention it has not been stated as to what his injury is. The 7-day IL is normally used for concussion protocol. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going. Obviously, whatever it is, the Blue Jays don't feel that this is a long-term thing. I know that some of the comments there was, "Oh my God, this is Nate Pearson again, but left-handed." Blah. He's 21 years old. He's still learning his body. It could literally be he tweaked his knee on a stair, Robbie Ray-ing it, right? Carrying his kid or something like that. I guess he's 21, so he doesn't have a kid yet, but you know, I'm just saying, let's not freak out. Fingers crossed the kid's okay. But yeah, it's a little concerning. How concerned are you with the fact that there has been some bumps and bruises on Ricky Tiedemann's health record since being touted as highly as he was back last year?
First of all, point of clarification. Yes, he's on the 7-day IL. You mentioned that being typically a concussion related thing. That's only at the major league level. Major League Baseball has a
Oh, okay.
10-day and a 60-day IL. The 7-day IL being for players in concussion protocol. At the minor league level, 7-day injured list is standard.
Okay.
So,
Thank you for clarifying.
that doesn't mean he didn't have a concussion symptom, but whatever.
Yeah.
I have been worried about his health since last season. I'm not thrilled that he's for, I don't care what reason,
Yeah.
gonna miss a start. He had something flare up in spring training, I think, too, did he not? Yeah, I don't know. It's
It is
I'm a
concerning.
believer in guys being injury prone. I know that some people are like, "Oh, it's just good luck, bad luck, a guy who's been healthy forever can also get injured at any time. And like, that's all true. But yeah, I'm fucking a little worried about this.
Yeah.
Like, scale of 1 to 10, my concern is Ricky.
It's creeping
Tiedemann.
Over 5. It's closer to 6 or 7 for
I'm
sure.
I'm gonna say, I'm probably gonna say 7. Like, I'm not full blown panic, but like,
I sure would be nice if we knew what it was. Because here's the thing: there's a big difference between a guy with a tight hamstring and a pitcher with elbow inflammation.
Look, maybe he's got blisters on his fingers from whatever, right? Like, it happens, right? We're just going to take it easy. Skip a start, let those blisters heal, get rid of that hangnail. Sure. But this is also a kid that is young, throws hard, throws lefty, which is unnatural. Yeah. That's not the way God invented people to be lefties. So even right there, he's going against God. Stupid. That's what the L in LGBTQ stands for, is left-handed pitchers, actually.
Left-handed pitchers, yeah.
Not a lot of people know that. anyways, stupid. I hate the comments we're going to get for that one. I'm concerned. It felt like all season last year was like, the only updates I was getting on Ricky Tiedemann was, oh, he's on the IL again. Oh, mm-hmm. He was pulled from his start after 14 pitches. I don't really care how fucking awesomely talented he is. If as a starting pitcher, he's going to only pitch 15 to 20 times a year. Like, I need 30 plus starts out of him, or else I don't care how good he is.
It's such a double-edged sword here, right? Because there is, I shouldn't say it's a double-edged sword, unless what I'm saying is that both edges of these swords are hurting the Blue Jays, which they are. his trade value comes into question if he is constantly being red flagged with injuries. I'm not saying that they should trade Ricky Tiedemann. That is the last thing I'm saying. I'm just saying there's two values to a high-end prospect. The one value is you develop him yourself as an organization, and he comes in and is a good way to offset high-end, high-priced contracts like George Springer, right? Mm-hmm. So you got young, talented guys performing at the highest level for league minimum mm-hmm. or arbitration. Or the other value in these high-end prospects that are highly touted is what you get on the open market for them. So either way, whatever the Blue Jays decide to do with Ricky Tiedemann, I'm not saying trade Tiedemann. I'm just saying these are where his value lies, and it erodes the value of the guy no matter what, right? And this is what happened with Nate Pearson. It kind of put the Jays' backs against the wall, where they didn't have the option to move Nate Pearson. Mm-hmm. There wasn't the value there because teams already were like, we've seen enough out of this kid's mm-hmm. arm being shut down constantly to maybe back off going mm-hmm. all in on him, right?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I think as far as Ricky Tiedemann's quote-unquote trade value, for me, when I just evaluate, like, where am I at, I go, last year he was untradeable for me.
Yes.
This year, I go, I'd listen. I'd be like, depending on what the offer was, I mean, there's rumors out there right now that Jays are in talks for Christian Yelich, right?
Oh, is there not a defense first outfielder that they could trade Tiedemann for?
Yes, Gold Glover with a 197 batting average. We're looking to
who plays really, center field?
Really locked down.
Yeah, we'll play right field while Kiermaier plays center. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry.
I mean, okay, let's just look backwards then on trades that almost happened that we know almost happened. Jose Ramirez,
mm-hmm.
right? that's the kind of player that last year I still wouldn't want to give up Tiedemann for. If you told me we got Jose Ramirez playing third, but we had to get rid of Matt Chapman and Ricky, I mean, Matt Chapman, just because the whole third, you'd have to figure it out. But we brought in J-Ram and we departed from our 7-15 prospect and Ricky Tiedemann. I don't like that. I wish we had kept Tiedemann. But now is just, this is where I'm at, where I've pivoted. All right. Well, at least we got a really good guy for him, right? And I'm just, I don't know. It's.
And listen.
It's a tough start to the season for Tiedemann because he didn't exactly dominate in AAA in his starts either.
And this is the other thing. Okay, and I know some people were like, maybe this is because he was injured. He's 21. He's still learning how to pitch. And we've talked about this many times. There's a difference between, I mean, Joe Siddle loves to talk about it, right? There's a difference between pitching and throwing. And at 21, far more guys are throwing. And I think Tiedemann is in that category. So him getting hit in AAA isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, if anything, maybe it's a good thing because it means he's working on pitching, and anything you work on is going to come with bumps and bruises. And if he's trying to mix his pitches in a new way, or he's working on his slider away or whatever it may be, there's going to be growing pains. So I'm not too worried about Ricky Tiedemann's first 11 innings or whatever it is in AAA that he's put up this year. I'm really not. Health, on the other hand, a huge concern. So with Greg sending us this, and then with the hashtag extend Kikuchi, okay, so Ricky Tiedemann, the highest rated left-handed prospect in all of Major League Baseball currently. You say Kikuchi. I mean, he is... blowing my mind with the progress he has made over the last couple of years. And I think Blue Jays fans in general will agree with that sentiment. We all saw the potential he had back in Seattle. We watched him get those high strikeout games, but we watched him get blown up numerous times. He was never a guy you could count on. He was always that number five guy. And then, you know, he'd have a stint of a couple starts where you're like, we see the potential. Look at this guy. He could be a number two in any rotation. And then right back to getting hit hard. We haven't seen that in about a year and some now. And the fact that he came off a career season last year and has doubled down this year, is putting up even more strikeouts and has looked even more dialed in. Wow. Yusei Kikuchi at 32 years old going into free agency could see a mega payday. Like, we're talking a Zach Wheeler, 3 years, $120 million, right?
You think he's going to get $40 million a year?
He needs to...
You're blowing me away right now.
He needs to continue to do what he did last year and improve on it a little bit. But honestly, dude, if he throws to a 3.3 ERA and puts up just under 200 Ks
from the left hand, yeah,
as a, like, man, especially considering he's been healthy, dude. Like, it hasn't been his health that's affected the way he's pitched. And this is where we talked about it earlier in the show. Atkins has been very good at targeting pitchers, figuring out maybe where their blemishes are and letting Pete just take that sander and you know, shine those stones up, polish those stones up. And he's been very good at it. We watched it happen with Jose Berríos, right? They went out, got Jose Berríos, tweaked him a little bit. He had a really rough 2022 and came back, and he was just dominant last year, a career season, a career year in ERA, a career year in innings pitched. And then on top of that, has carried it over and looked even better this year. So the Blue Jays have been good at targeting pitchers. Have they targeted any guys where they're just like, here is a boatload of money? Not really. Right? Like listen, I'm not saying $110 million over 5 years for Gausman isn't a boatload of money, but $22 million a season on the open market for Kevin Gausman, let's face it, he's a $30 million pitcher.
No
Jose
argument.
Berríos, Jose Berríos, I mean, same sort of thing. If he continues the way he is, right? So can I see them going to Scott Boras and being like, let's make a nice little deal here? I can see them trying. I can't see the Boras Corp in any way listening on this until free agency.
Yusei Kikuchi, Kevin Kiermaier, Justin Turner, Jimmy Garcia, Daniel Vogelbach, Danny Jansen, and Trevor Richards. That's all money coming off the books next year. Justin Turner, $13 million for him. Kevin Kiermaier, 10.5 for
Ten.
him. I feel like Justin Turner, who's 39, going to be 40. Probably not extending him. Kevin Kiermaier.
Redundant. We don't need him.
I
And
feel
I love
like,
KK.
I just feel like if we're looking for money to give Kikuchi, Justin Turner's 13 million, I think needs to get reallocated to someone replacing him, like another DH, another 35-year-old Jacques Peterson
Another
type or whatever,
professional
right?
hitter,
Sure.
yes.
But Kevin Kiermaier's 10.5 million. I feel like just throw Nathan Lucas out there. Just throw
Yeah.
Davis Schneider. Like just throw one of these guys out there as our fourth outfielder. And there's an extra 10 million for a Yusei Kikuchi potentially. Just because we're on the topic of free agents, paydays, and is a guy injury prone, I'd be remiss if I didn't look at Danny Jansen, who is also a free agent at the end of this season. He's getting 5.2 this season. Another guy that I want to defend him and say, oh, it's just bad luck. He keeps getting hit by pitches. How do you stop that? Nice to see him wearing the full fucking hand guards as he's batting now. But
It is so funny to me, dude, how much work Danny Jansen has put into not wearing batting gloves. Like, he's got a whole, like, it looks like Bowser's back on his hand here. And then you turn around, it's just like his free flowing hands here. He's like think about the mental side of the game where he has convinced himself he can't hit without not having gloves on. Like this, like it's hilarious to me.
Yep, big time. We saw a stretch at the start of the season without Danny Jansen, what his team looks like with Alejandro Kirk and some other guy. Not to smear Servin's name, but
Yeah.
if we let Danny Jansen walk in free agency, that's what it's going to be, right? It's going to be Kirk is the guy plus some dude, some
Yeah.
4A catcher. I don't see us going out and signing or trading for anyone that would replace the Danny Jansen void. We can't let him walk, can we? And I have no idea how much money he gets.
I don't know either. I
It's it
mean,
keeps me up at night. I know we're not going to get to a solution here, so we don't have to spend too much time on it, but I just wanted to remind people, if you're sleeping comfy at night, just remember, Danny Jansen's a free agent.
I don't think it's going to be overly expensive to re-sign Danny Jansen, and I could be wrong. He just hasn't shown that he can be healthy.
I
So
know.
until he shows he can be healthy, I mean, now what may wind up happening is Danny Jansen believes in himself and signs a 1-year deal. And if that's the case, that still lines up well with all of these contracts ending at the end of 2025, where I think there's only like George Springer with 1 year left, something like that. But
I start looking at that. I go, who's a good team with a bad catcher? Red Sox might think they're close if they have a good year. Rays aren't handing out money.
No.
Pirates. Pirates might
But
be.
It depends what Danny Jansen's value is, right? Like, maybe
I know,
the
but
Rays
I mean, if you're talking
be...
a one-year deal, if you, I'm just saying, if I'm a World Series contender, if I have World Series aspirations, Danny Jansen's a guy I'm throwing 10, 15 million at on a one-year deal to be like, hey, come DH yeah. and be backup catcher behind JT Realmuto for us. Like,
It's really going to be interesting. I honestly have no idea where Danny Jansen's value is. Because honestly, I wouldn't be completely shocked if someone gets him for $3.5 million, $4 million. And I wouldn't be completely shocked if someone gets him for 10. So, yeah. You know, it goes to show you folks, the grounds crew, how little I know about the value of ball players, because every time I guess on somebody, I'm way off. Either I would have never guessed Zach Wheeler got as much as he did, and I would have never guessed, you know, like some of these guys, Rosario signed for $1.5 million, and, you know, yeah. I thought he'd be yeah. a lot closer to five. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. With you. All right, well, we're not making any progress on the Danny Jansen signing, yeah. so let's move on from
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Question from Brian Crawford on Patreon says, do you feel the Blue Jays offense is starting to come alive?
I don't know if it's starting to come alive, but I am starting to have a little bit more confidence in it than I was last year, for sure. I do feel like they are a little bit more with a guy like Justin Turner. He has impressed me so much with the way he goes about his business, the way he approaches his at-bats. He's looking for stuff, you know, like he has a game plan when he gets into that batter's box, and it changes depending on the situation. And that's what I want. I want a situational hitter, Adam. Like, I want a guy who, like, when there's nobody on base and it's the ninth inning and they're down and there's two outs, is swinging for the fences. And I want a guy that when there's nobody out and a runner on first and second, is just trying not to hit into a double play. Can you give me that? Because that's what Justin Turner is. And I hope that his approach starts to rub off on guys like Vladdy. Because there's sometimes, man, watching Vladimir Guerrero Jr., where I'm like, what a stud. Look at the plate approach. Look at the way he's laying off those balls outside. And then he takes two walks. And that gives him no warm and fuzzies, right? He gets zero warm and fuzzies from a walk. And then he starts to expand his strike zone a little because he wants a hit, because that's what gives him his serotonin. You know? Yeah. Like, he's like, you know, and I don't know if that's an age thing. I don't know if that's just a personality thing or whatever it may be, because I think we can all agree that Vladdy has shown that he can be an extremely patient hitter. Which is why I think it drives us nuts when he's not.
I have just not been... I've not had this little confidence in the top of the order.
In a while.
In a long time. Like 10 years. Like when it was the Batista, Edwin, Donaldson era. Every time that part of the order came up, it's like, okay, we're only down two. Who's coming up? Okay, good. We got the bringer of rain. You know, like,
yeah,
I felt like we got a shot, and I just never right now feel like, oh, thank God George Springer's coming. Like, oh,
if yeah.
Kiermaier could just get on base and turn the lineup over, we got Springer up with one out. Oh, and then we're right back in. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah.
But I feel like that with every other team we face, where I'm like, oh God, now we've got Soto. Oh God, now it's Judge. Oh God, now it's, and it's just like, I just miss those days of like, I know Joel's getting ready to text us right now as he listens to this. Just a picture of Teoscar Hernandez.
yeah.
But I mean, it's true, but it's also like, yeah, fucking Vladdy's been a bummer, man. And so is Bo. I know Bo had like an injury, but like he's
I'm just not worried about Bo. And maybe I should be, but I'm just not worried about Bo. I think he's gonna come around. I think he's just slumping right now. And I'd rather him slump in April than in any other month, pretty much. So and you know what? I will give credit to the back end of this batting lineup, because they have managed to kind of patch the leaking ship a little bit, you know, plug the holes.
Bo Bichette betting 227 on the year, OPS 645. That is slightly ahead of Daniel Vogelbach.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the batting average of everyone in this lineup, though. Like, Vladdy, 211. I know, people are going to gripe. Like, batting average doesn't fucking mean anything, you old dinosaur. But it does. Even, like, fucking Dalton Varsho, who had a great week, hitting 218 on the season. Like, had an awesome week to bring his average up to 218. Davis Schneider, who we keep pointing at as being, like, the catalyst in this offense. Why does John keep taking his son out of the lineup? It's like, well, he is hitting 216.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a problem for sure.
Like Justin Turner is hitting 333. Kevin Biggio, second best batting average on this team with 292.
Yeah.
And then Ernie Clement, 275. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa hitting 260 with an OPS of 707.
Yeah. No, I agree.
The thought that IKF is a top five offensive weapon for us 3 weeks into the season makes me want to puke my pants.
Yeah.
So to come back to Brian's question, do you feel like this offense is starting to come around? It's early.
That's why I said I don't feel like it's coming alive, but I do feel more confident in it than I did last year at the end of the season. We're winning 5-4 games. We're winning 4-1 games. We're losing 6-4 because as soon as you score more than 5 runs against the Jays, we lose.
Blue Jays stats the last 7 days. Kirk hitting 571. That's not sustainable, but it's good. Ernie Clement hitting 400. Kiermaier, 400. Springer, 333. Varsho, 308. Vladdy, 294.
See, they're coming around. They're Bo Bichette,
278. So, I think let's end this piece of the mailbag with, it's been a slow start, but objectively, it is coming around. So, there you go. Next one from Mark on Patreon says, question, in a wildly optimistic scenario where two of Manoa, Francis, or Rodriguez are all pitching well, is there any value to running a 6-man rotation to give the veteran starters an extra day's rest every week? My only opinion on this team so far is that Bo and Vlad need to wear tighter helmets. So.
Oh boy, those boys do love rounding a base and then their helmet flying off and letting their hair just blow in the wind, eh?
Yes, sir. 6-man rotation.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I don't like it either. I mean, here's the thing. So Hinjin Ryu pitched statistically far, far better on an extra day rest. Every other guy in this rotation, it is the other way around, right? If they get an extra day, they're just all so locked in because it's the way baseball runs, right? And they're all creatures of habit. They all have their routines. They all have the way they do things. They all have the preparation they do before getting into a start. And that preparation tends to be over a 5-day span. So I just also can't see a scenario where 6 guys are running so well where you feel you have to do that. Manoa has shown nothing. Manoa has shown nothing. Yeah, I'm cheering for him.
He really, that's a good way of putting it is you'd have to really have an elite 6 to think this is better than another gospel.
Like Ohtani. Game. You need Ohtani in that line. You need Ohtani pitching, basically, for a six-man rotation to be viable.
What's, let me just do some quick math here. 162 divided by a five-man rotation. That's 32 starts each, 32 and a half starts each. So some people are getting a couple extra starts. 162 divided by six is only 27. So would I rather have, would I trade five starts from Berríos, Gausman, Kikuchi, and Bassett from each of them for 27?
Francis Bowden's 27, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's like, that guy's really got to be good. Even if you took the fact, even if you took the factor of of how rest would affect these guys. And I don't think our pitching staff is so old where that's really a fact. They're not Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer.
No.
Right. So no, I don't like the idea personally. And I think, I think we really have to see some fucking impressive numbers to even consider anything like outside the norm of what.
Now, on the other hand, is there going to be a stretch of games where they're playing 15 in a row and we see a spot start from a few of those guys? Yeah, 100%. Yep. And I think that is important, right, to make sure to not overwork the starting rotation and to give breathing room where you can. But to go full-on six-man rotation, I don't see it happening.
I would say letter of the law when it comes to this comment. Two of Manoah, Francis, or Rodriguez are pitching well. If they're pitching well, I would say no. If two of them are both pitching better than great, I'd entertain it, but I'd still be reluctant.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, that's a tough spot to be in, I guess, but there's worse places to be. Okay, a couple more here and we'll get out of here. MLB Mondays, we touched on that Nestor Cortez delivery where he does a little floaty leg fake pitch delivery.
Yeah.
We got a comment here from Alex who said, how on earth is that Cortez delivery not a balk? Nobody knows what the balk rules are, but I guess, I mean, ask Angel Hernandez to explain it to you. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess there was no base runners on. So you can't balk by definition because it's a whatever. An illegal pitch.
And it's technically still his delivery. So he had his leg up. He never put his foot down.
He didn't touch his foot down. So that's the distinction. What the fucking
It's so goofy, man. Pitch, it's man. So goofy.
I don't know how just out of reef, because it was so out of the ordinary. I don't know how just as a like ump paying attention behind the plate sees a fake pitch and then a pitch doesn't go, hey, whoa, illegal pitch. That's a ball. Just like, yeah, fucking do that. Even if like in the rule book, he can, and maybe he can, apparently he can. I don't know how an ump doesn't be like, oh yeah, the old fake pitch delivery.
Yeah.
Just like I learned in umping school. Totally legal. Yeah.
I love too that it was so like whoop, like just like a
murk. Peekaboo. No. So, anyways, there you go.
So dumb. Good for Nestor though.
Good for Nestor. Entertaining. Then we talked about the Hagen Danner misprint baseball card. Not a picture of Hagen Danner on his rookie card.
No.
I love this so much, just because it's. I mean, friend of the show for one.
Yeah.
Anyways. Ian commented and said, it looks vintage because it's part of the Topps Heritage set. And then Ian says, he'll get one for me. Topps has done this with Jansen and Teo, but they weren't rookie cards. So I said, send a couple, and then we'll see if we can get them signed by Hagen Danner.
That would be amazing.
Come on, wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah.
And then on YouTube, M. Heineken said, I miss Garth. Would have been great person to have on to discuss baseball cards. So.
And agree.
Agreed. Maybe we'll have him back for a long toss. The door is always open for Garth. Of course, we love him and all the contribution he's had to the channel over the last couple of years. So
100%.
Dulcimer commented as well and said the title of this video made me think of the 1989 Fleer Billy Ripken card with the comment on the knob of his bat, which is, yes, one of the all-time baseball cards. Look it up if you haven't seen it before. It's just hilarious, and I would love to have one in my collection. It's also hilarious because, like, Billy Ripken is an analyst on the MLB Network now.
Yeah.
Just like every time I see a clip with him doing something serious, I'm like, shut up, fuckface.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Anyways. All right. Last one here, and then we'll get out. Wyatt on Patreon says, hey, fellas, question for the mailbag. I love this one. If you're a betting man, will the Jays do a Rogers replica Justin Turner jersey giveaway with the pine tar smeared across the R before or after the All-Star break?
I love this question. I'm going to take the after the All-Star break, but it should happen. It has to happen.
Definitely needs to happen.
I love that pine tar smear. It is just, it's great. You know,
it's
put
iconic.
It on a pitcher though. Put it on a pitcher though. And you suspend that mother.
Right to jail.
Right to jail. Yeah. All right, folks. Yeah. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Apologies that I was away for so long. It's so good to be back, man. It was nice to talk. Man, it was nice to talk baseball for an hour here. Yeah, good to be back. I'll keep you posted on this Padres series here. Feel free to follow along the Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, as I'll be posting most of the weekend and our adventures in San Diego. And yeah, we'll see y'all for Monday, MLB Mondays.
There you go. Cheers.